Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Thursday, August 26th, 52 degrees here in Old Town Park City. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, we've got meteorologist Thomas Giboy. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Happy Thursday. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. We're closing in on the weekend. But our weather, it's kind of, we got two things that we're really watching out for today. We've been seeing a lot more smoke work its way in over the last 48 hours. And unfortunately, that trend is going to continue. Our winds in the upper levels are sitting out of the west. So that's transporting more of that wildfire smoke. So it looks like our air quality is going to take another dip. It's going to be unhealthy for sensitive groups. So if anybody has asthma or are sensitive to a particulate matter in the air, it's something that you're going to want to keep in mind if you're going to be outside for a while today. Also, by mid-morning through the afternoon, there will also be a slight chance for a few showers and thunderstorms. Showers and thunderstorms today going to favor the higher terrain areas. So again, that does include Park City. It's about a 1 in 5 chance that we see a shower or thunderstorm in Park City, keeping that chance from the afternoon into the evening. If we don't find any rain, we're going to get a partly cloudy sky along with the patchy smoke, with temperatures climbing into the middle and upper 70s. As we go into tonight, the moisture will start to just leave Utah in general, thanks to that westerly flow as more dry air moves in. And then it's going to be on the cool side tonight, temperatures dropping in lower 50s. Then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with the winds continuing out of the west, we're looking at more areas of smoke. So we're probably going to continue with the unhealthy for sensitive groups with the air quality. Daytime highs will be running in the middle to upper 70s. Overnight lows will continue in the lower 50s. We might be able to see the smoke break down just a little bit as we go into the early stages of next week. It looks like our winds are going to switch a little bit more out of the south. And by Tuesday, looks like we're going to get a little bit of a southerly flow, which might help bring more moisture into the Beehive State. And we're going to bring back the chance for showers and thunderstorms Tuesday into Wednesday, as highs will continue in the middle to upper 70s, lows in the 50s.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Thomas. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Stay tuned. Coming up this hour, we'll be checking in with Summit County Councilmember Roger Armstrong. A really emotional meeting yesterday as the council hearing from both those for and against the mask order that went into effect as of midnight. Later on in the hour, Kimball Arts Center curator Nancy Stokes will be in with Jorge Rojas, the artist in residence, about a series of classes and the community art project People of Corn that is happening this month. Council met yesterday taking public input on the masking order for all county elementary schools. That order went into effect as of midnight. In the studio with details on that as well as some other county business, I have County Council Member Roger Armstrong. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Leslie. I'm surrounded by my favorite people here today. Sarah, Joe, Miles, Renee's behind me. You, this is just the perfectly safe place to be, so thank you.
Yeah. So were you in leadership? Do you have a class number to represent?
No, Miles wouldn't let me in. I applied twice. He wouldn't let me in. But my wife was in class 20, so I got to enjoy the benefits of city tour. And class 20, if you're out there, you better show your colors and start dialing the phone. Let's go.
All right. Well, emotional debate about the mask order in the elementary schools yesterday. You heard from 9 people who spoke against it, 12 people speaking in favor of it. And with the one exception, all of the anti-mask people appearing in person at the Colville Legis Center, all of the pro-mask people speaking on Zoom, both sides saying that there's data or studies to prove their point. Both say that children are suffering with or without masks. Perhaps the most emotional moment, though, was when a county employee at the meeting, Brian Craven, got up to speak, telling you that his granddaughter has had COVID 3 times. And he asked the audience if they wanted to die. Yikes. I mean, I guess then a verbal altercation kind of broke out. Then what?
Well, we settled it down. I mean, you know, we try to make these places, our meetings, a safe place to provide comment. Some of the comment we agree with, some of the comment we don't agree with necessarily, but everybody should have the ability to speak, and that's what happened. It got a little emotional, and I think, you know, at bottom, everybody there is concerned about their children, and I think that that's the tension that you see with half in favor of and half not. You know, we've achieved the perfect regulation when we've made everybody equally unhappy. We didn't go far enough, we went too far. And we're in that space. So at bottom, everybody, including the county council and the health department, we're concerned about children. There's a group of children that don't have access to vaccines right now and don't have the same kind of ability for parents to find that protection. And the health department felt that, you know, once numbers get to a certain place, masking is prudent. And to the for the entirety of this pandemic, we followed the data, we followed the advice from our health department. They've looked to the state health department, medical professionals, the CDC, and I think that that served us well as a county. Our case counts remained low. The number of deaths that we had in Summit County compared to the rest of the state has been far better than, you know, what we've seen outside of here. Our residents have been tremendous about picking up the slack and helping each other get across the finish line of this thing. We're seeing an incidence rise in the state of Utah right now, and we're seeing incident rise in Summit County. So now's the time to be more cautious, and I think that's what the health department concluded.
Chair Chris Robinson read a statement prepared by the county basically saying that that 2% standard was supported by all three school superintendents, right?
Yeah, and that's, again, to the health department's credit. They reached out to all of the school districts to let them know in advance what they were thinking, and this does reflect, again, what we think, or what the health department certainly thinks will work best to protect that group of kids.
So would the council meet and discuss perhaps a K through 12 mandate? I mean, technically the council doesn't approve it. It's the health department and the county manager that would do that. But they would probably base that on council input.
Yeah, you know, I serve with four other people, and collectively the five of us have some pretty strong ideas about what's good and what's bad on any number of things. When it comes to the pandemic, we stay in our lane and we look to the health department. So if they make that decision, it will be based on data that suggests that that's the right thing to do.
A mask critic suggested that there should be a community meeting about COVID and masks. What's your take? Is that just asking for arguments and...
You know, I don't know. We have meetings like this. This, I think, is at least the second time, if not more, that we've had public input and that we've had differing opinions on this. And I think that community discussion is playing out in social media. It's playing out in a variety of places. I don't know that each side is going to change the other side's mind about what they're thinking. And again, you know, the hard part for us is to really just stay focused on what we can do, what we have the ability to do. The legislature has stepped in to significantly limit what we have the ability to do, and we're just trying to navigate the science, the data, and the medicine, and the legislation, frankly, and come out with the best that we can.
You heard a couple of updates from County Attorney Margaret Olson. She gave a brief status report on Elks Meadow there, again, that has undergone a number of inspections, and apparently some great strides have been made forward, yet we still have a lot of work to do there.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, you've got a remote landlord. I had conversations with this landlord at the beginning of the pandemic, around the time of the lockdown, primarily about evictions and what their plans were in that regard. And at that time, we started to see some of those health and safety issues at that facility. And the county attorney's office and the health department have been working to try and get those corrected. I think it started a bit slower than we would have liked. It started to accelerate as the remedies by the county have ramped up. And it looks like they're on track. So I take Margaret at her word when she says she feels like things are moving in the right direction and this will be resolved.
Yeah, but there's still like a lot of mold in some of those apartments there. I mean, what do we do about that?
That's what remains to be cleaned up. There's some mold problems we heard last night and some cockroach problems. And those are still outstanding issues that they have to complete before they can get a bill of health from the health department in building and planning.
Yeah, and then what about all of the broken appliances, the broken doors, the broken cupboards? I mean, are they just stuck with living with those conditions?
That's a good question. I think appliances that relate to health and safety, those have to be remedied. If they don't relate to health and safety, I'm not sure what our remedies are. And I would look to Margaret to kind of guide us through that process.
Yeah, there are apparently legal avenues that the county attorney can take. We haven't seen any fines issued. Is that something that could happen if they're not?
I don't know all the tools that she got. I think she mentioned last night business licenses. I mean, I think there are a number of things that we can do as a regulatory, from a regulatory standpoint, to make sure that residences are safe at the end of the day.
And finally, County Attorney Margaret Olson also made a brief statement about the group of people last week who spoke against the Dakota Pacific proposal for Kimball Junction, officially advising the council that you need to disregard those comments when making a decision about the project, basically like a judge saying the jury should disregard, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, Councilmember Melina Stevens said she'd like to hear more from the public about Dakota Pacific. And my understanding is that based on the advice of council, that public hearing is closed and no more input will be accepted. So given that changes have been made since the public hearing closed, I mean, how can you not take input?
I think, and I'll look to the county attorney to disabuse me of this notion, but I believe that any public hearing can be reopened at any time before a decision is made. And if there are material changes, this is a very complicated development agreement, and trying to amend it to put in these new terms, you know, what the council gave four thumbs up to and one thumbs down to 2 weeks ago was a set of deal terms, you know, basically bullet points. And when you start teasing out everything that goes into those bullet points, it's going to be something that will be material and likely a material change from what the public saw before, in my mind. And in that regard, I think it warrants taking more public input. But I will look to the county attorney for that advice.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
You know what? I do, because we don't get to do this often. We had a person retire from the county yesterday after 34 years of working in public health for both the Summit County Health Department and just generally in public health, and her name is Stephanie Hurt. She was a nurse. She worked out of the Camas facility. She was a crucial person during the vaccine effort, and she was also responsible for administering vaccines to the public in Summit County. And she had the unfortunate nickname of Nurse Hurt with respect to vaccines. And I told her that was maybe the worst marketing nickname I'd ever heard, but apparently she was very gentle. And we are going to profoundly miss her service to the county, and we wish her well.
Okay. Roger, thanks.
Thank you.
Summit County Council Member Roger Armstrong. Well, the Kimball Arts Center's Artist in Residency program has kicked off and will go into early September. In the studio with details, I have Kimball Arts Center curator Nancy Stoke, along with artist in residence Jorge Rojas. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nancy, why don't you start just by telling us briefly what the Artist in Residence program is?
Absolutely. So the Kimball is really excited about supporting artists and the work that they're making. And an artist in residency program is a great way to give artists the time and space and support to really develop new bodies of work, to explore new ideas, and that's what we're really excited to do through this new program.
Okay, and have you been doing it before? You invited Jorge?
No, Jorge is our inaugural artist in residence, and we're so excited to be working with him.
All right, so why was he a good match for the program?
So Jorge is a local artist living and working down in Salt Lake City, and so we've been working over the past couple of years in a variety of different ways and different projects, and this was a way to kind of deepen our relationship together and just do something really exciting.
Yeah, I think you were kind of hoping, I mean, right, with the Art and Culture District eventually, or with the Kimball's new headquarters, that you would actually have space for artists in residence. So where does, I mean, are you just commuting back and forth, or are you staying up here?
Yeah, so I have my own studio in Salt Lake City, so I've just been coming up regularly. I've been doing some summer camps in the community. The project I'm working on is a community project, it's a community building project, so everyone's invited to come and contribute and make part of the artwork that is now on display.
All right, well, tell us just a little bit about yourself and why this was a program that you wanted to be part of.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Mexico, and I've been living between the U.S. and Mexico all my life, so I'm very interested in making art that involves community and that kind of blurs the line between the audience and the artist and the artwork. And so, like Nancy said, we've had a relationship for over the years and have collaborated on a number of things. And so when they asked me if I would be interested in doing this, it just seemed like a wonderful opportunity to connect with the Park City community, to share my work up here, and also to find ways of building more community here. And also, I was excited about the opportunity to work with the Latino community.
Great. So I've seen lots of kind of corn sculptures. That was part of the children's segment there at the Arts Festival. They're also all around the Kimball Arts Center. So these are the projects that Jorge's helping to.
Yeah, Jorge, why don't you?
Yeah, you bet. So the project is called People of Corn, Gente de Maíz, and it's really just based on this idea that corn is this very interesting, historically charged and spiritual food all across the Americas, from Peru all the way to Native American cultures here in the United States. People consider corn as the sacred food item that has allowed us to subsist for centuries. And so I'm inspired by this idea that the Mayans believe that the corn deities, if you will, or the gods, first created the humans out of corn. And so people refer to themselves as people of corn. And so I thought it'd be fun to make a project where anybody in the community, not just children, anybody could make little creatures out of corn masa that we then take out into the sun to sunbake them, and then they go inside of this installation. It's surrounding, which surrounds a corn mandala that includes symbols from Aztec, Mayan, Inca, and Native American cultures.
Yeah, so you'll be giving an artist talk next Thursday, 6:30 p.m. at the Kimball. What's that talk about?
Well, I've actually just been invited to talk about my practice in general, but specifically about how this project came to be. This is a project that I've been developing for almost 10 years now. So this is actually the sixth corn mandala that I install, and it'll be, yeah, so I'll just be talking about my practice. And then we have some other programming that's coming up as well the following week. Is it the following week?
Yeah, Wednesday the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the week after. We've partnered with Utah Humanities and their book festival, and we're bringing in an author from Mexico. His Dr. Roberto Cintli Rodriguez, who has a PhD in writing about the connections and the importance, the significance of maíz, of corn, across the Americas.
Okay. Again, those are free and open to the public. Do they just need to RSVP? Or
exactly. And those will be presented, and people can attend in person or via live stream as well.
Okay. And again, all of this is in partnership with the Utah Division of Arts and Museums, Arte de México in Utah, the Utah Humanities, Park City Library. So what roles do all of these organizations, Nancy, have with making something like this happen?
Oh, yeah. We have fantastic partners who've given us so much support. They've all contributed in a variety of ways, either financial support or marketing and outreach and
connections
exactly.
Ideas.
Yeah,
they've all just, I think that when they saw that this program was really kind of a multicultural bridge building project, they saw that it aligned with their own individual goals and were excited to be part of it and contribute to its success.
Okay. Again, Jorge Rojas's People of Corn Artist in Resident Program on display at the Kimball through September 19th.
Yes.
Great opportunity for people to stop by.
Stop by and contribute and participate. It's a beautiful project.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention?
Just come by and check it out. And thank you for having us.
Okay.
Good luck with the Pledge Fund.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.